I'd like you to get your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit coming into the world to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, to strengthen us. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. It's not just sort of something that emanates from the Father. The Holy Spirit is actually a person. Jesus was God in the flesh, and the Spirit of God is this interesting and amazing person. The Spirit of God, the Spirit that comes from God that has been sent to us. 1 Corinthians says, we've received the Spirit that's not of the world, but the Spirit that comes from God, so that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And then we're going to go to John 16 and John 14, but I want to look at Romans chapter 8 because Paul the Apostle, man, just moved by the Holy Spirit, makes this amazing statement. He says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." This is one of the coolest sentences in the Bible because what it implies is that we have potential for divine leadership from the Holy Spirit, as opposed to just leaning on our own devices or our own thinking or our own perceptions. What's suggested and presented here is that when we come to know God and we're born of the Spirit, and that's what happens when you become a Christian, is the lights go on and you become alive spiritually. And in that birth, you have an aptitude and a potential to know the Master's voice. As said earlier on in John chapter 10, that he came to give abundant life, and part of the byproduct of that is that we would know his voice and we'd be able to follow his Spirit. This is good news. We ought to have a praise break. Hallelujah. This is awesome. Because the potential here is endless, it's infinite, and it's amazing that we receive a spirit of adoption. And it says in verse 16 that the Spirit himself, now it's talking about the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit. Now here's another implied thing here, that we are, by design, spirit people. We're spiritual beings. There's more to life than meets the eye. We are not strictly intellectual. We're not strictly physical. We're made in God's image. And God's made us to interact with him. And the way God interacts with us is his Holy Spirit with our spirit. And then this vital reinforcement of whether we're saved or not, he's chosen to have his Holy Spirit testify to our human spirit about concerning salvation. So it's not goosebumps, it's not rationale, it's not, I mean, the number one clarity is that the Bible says so concerning God sending his Son, but it's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in addition to that biblical reinforcement, he gives this added layer, his Holy Spirit, bearing witness or testifying with our spirit. So this is centrally what I want to talk about, that God, the Holy Spirit, is interested in communicating with us, spiritual beings made in God's image, made in his likeness, made to walk in the Spirit. And when we understand this, it will help us to incline toward it, and it'll make us more receptive to it when we know it's biblical, that the Holy Spirit is available and that he has a purpose, and one of his purposes is revealed here, that he wants to bear witness with our spirit. Now let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, the key verse I've been using the last few weeks, verse 7. Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. And they were so heartbroken because they were so attached to Jesus. And he says, no, listen, actually, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. I've heard a lot of people since I've become a Christian say, boy, I wish I lived in King David's time. I wish I lived in Moses' time at the parting of the Red Sea. I don't. I wish I lived in David's time. Well, David had a good life, but he had a limited experience. He was not born again, though he was aware of God as a shepherd. He did not understand him as a father. He did not have redemption through the shed blood of Jesus yet. He was in a different covenant and a different system that was actually inferior. It was not as amazing as what has happened since Christ. Well, then I've heard other people say, oh, I wish I lived during Jesus' day. I wish I lived around the Sea of Galilee and I could see him do those miracles and feed the 5,000. I don't. I don't, because Jesus is pointedly saying here, the best is yet to come. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I did not go, I would not send the Helper. But since I'm going away, I'm going to send him to you. the helper. There was never a situation like this until the resurrection and the ascension. When Jesus ascended, as realistically as the Father sent Jesus to die for our sins, Jesus has dispatched the Holy Spirit to come upon us, but also live in us. The Bible calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He's actually wanting to coexist and interact and co-labor with us and empower us and anoint us and give us a spiritual heads up. Oh, it's so good. Go to John chapter 16, since you're at this page, and let's go down to verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Listen, Holy Spirit wants to show us stuff. He wants to give us a heads up. He wants us to be aware and sensitized. Right now, as I'm preaching this, I'm trusting that God will stir up that part of you, that inner man, that spirit that God has designed for you to be in fellowship with Him. See, this is rational. Christianity is rational. Christianity has emotive properties. Christianity includes our senses. It creates sensory reinforcement. Yet, at the end of the day, the primary thing is His Spirit wants to bear witness with our spirit. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of a man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of his being." And what that means is, God's not appealing to our intellect per se. He's not appealing to our goosebumps and feelings or the lack thereof. It's a deeper and more sure situation. It's His Holy Spirit, this amazing being, the Spirit of God, who has come to us and wants to operate through us. Wow. I'm so happy about it. You need to look at this in the Amplified. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 16. The Amplified is a translation from the 50s, and what they did is they looked carefully at these words in the original Greek language, and when the word comes up in John 14, 16, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper." Everybody say helper. Now, we lose something on helper because that can be a little bit light, but it's actually quite a weighty word. That word helper in the Greek is a word parakletos. The paraclete is the one who comes alongside. He's called alongside to help. He's called alongside to help. This is why Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send you this helper who is called alongside to help." In the Old Testament, you could see smatterings and sort of measures and sort of limits of the Spirit of God moving in certain ways with certain people. But in this, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we are put at such advantage, the whole body of Christ, in fact, the whole earth is benefited, because He said He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. He's poured out His Spirit. We are in the church age. We are in the most wonderful time that humanity has ever been privileged to live. I'd rather be here than the Garden of Eden. And I'd rather be here than heaven right now, because then heaven is a whole different chapter. This is our moment to learn these things, to get a hold of the power that comes from this, the benefit that comes from this, learn how to flow with God and see signs, wonders, and miracles follow and fill your life, take you out of futility, take you out of sort of wondering and get you into a place of dynamic, supernatural, catalytic impact. God's called you to something big. Come on, man. Look what it says here. It says, I will ask the Father, and then my margin, it says, called alongside to help. The Amplified says it this way, "I will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that He may remain with you forever." So the good news on the end of that, as if that definition wasn't good enough, He says He's going to give them to us and He'll be with us forever. And in the middle of that, He gives definition by virtue of that Greek word. The one called alongside to help us. The one called alongside to comfort us in our afflictions. Who gives us supernatural comfort. Assurances. I know the God of comfort has an overriding presence that can come in. We don't grieve and mourn as the world grieves. We do grieve. We cry. And I'm a little offended when people say, "Oh, they're in heaven. You don't need to cry." When somebody loses a loved one, they lost a loved one, and there is real loss. And on the human side, church needs to be sensitive to that. We don't wish it away or churchify cliche things, but on the other hand, the Comforter comes. And He walks us through. He walks us through, and He said He'll remain with us. He's stubborn about it. He has stick-to-itive tenacity to get in and bring comfort to people. I know a guy that got saved in our church. When his wife died, I was with him. Before he called the medical examiner or anybody in the family, he called me. I went in there and I said, yes, she's dead. He said, he grabbed my shoulders and said, I know there is a God. He is comforting me right now. I've watched the God of comfort come in, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete come in and bring comfort to people. And then also we understand that since we're cooperating with Him and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, we learn something of the God of comfort, and we learn how to comfort with the comfort that we're comforted by God. God's called us to comfort the people. God's called us not to give false cliches and passivity. He's called us to understand the Comforter and learn how to receive comfort. You ever need comfort? I did this week. I needed the Comforter to come help me. And He did. And He's going to remain with me forever, so He's not leaving. He's not intermittent with His job. He's constant. Counselor? Anybody ever need guidance? He said He would guide us. You business people? God will show you what to do in this economy. There's a man in our church, came to the Lord here, beautiful guy, been through some Job-type circumstances lately. And it just was hard for him. But he kept on an attitude of faith. He didn't let his situation or circumstances stop him or sour his attitude. And he started holding to the promises of God. And within a few days, he got a new job. He sold his house, got the money he was asking for. And one other thing I didn't remember, but God, the counselor, walked him through strategy, even in this market, even in these real estate terms that people are talking about. And in spite of all that, the counselor got in and said, I'll show you how to navigate in the situation, because he has know-how. The counselor. God's got such a gift on your life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You guys, I think we need to dial into this. Because God does not want us to be ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit. And we see a few people that maybe are a little flaky with these things, so then it tempts us to want to back off, because none of us want to be flaky. But being a Spirit-led, Spirit-taught child of God is neither flaky, nor spooky, nor weird, nor mystical. It is divinely normal. And the Holy Spirit is the most profoundly solid being we are dealing with on this planet. And see, Jesus isn't here anymore. Jesus isn't here anymore. He ascended, but He sent His Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is here, the Spirit of God. And God's looking to use all of us. Come on, it's so exciting. I'm so happy about it. He wants to counsel to you and even wants to counsel through you. He's the Helper. Holy Spirit helps me. I'll just go on record. I give Him all the praise, honor, glory. I give Jesus, I give the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all the credit for any good thing that's ever happened in my life. And I'm not trying to be humble. I'm telling you, I know where my help comes from. I am in a place where unless I have divine intervention, oh well, I've got to have God. And I'm happy to announce to you that He remains with us. The Holy Spirit wants to help us. He helps us in our struggle. He helps us in our infirmity. His grace is sufficient. Even Paul the Apostle said when he was being bothered and tormented and vexed by a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, he cried out to God about it and he said, my grace is sufficient. God's grace, God's presence, the power of the Holy Spirit, all these are intermingling realities, and it comes and is fostered by this wonderful Helper who is an ever-present help in the time of need. He's abundantly available to help in a tight place. And He's our intercessor. He stands in the gap. He intervenes for us. The Spirit of God knows everything about everybody all the time and is ahead of things because He's not locked up or limited by time or space. And Einstein tried to figure some of this stuff out in his whole physics thing back in the last century, where he got in this thing where if you're moving at the speed of light, then time would be altered. And he's probably right about some of this stuff. He got out there and started thinking some of these things. I actually think he was thinking some of the thoughts of God, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth, spun all this thing into existence. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, made it all happen. But God is not limited by time or space. The Holy Spirit is not limited by time or space. He operates with different coordinates. But when we become His children, we finite humans tap into the supernatural Holy Spirit of God. His Spirit begins to bear witness with our spirit, and we begin to think the thoughts of God. Our minds get renewed. We start to come into terms of understanding some of the things of God. Teach us your ways, O Lord. And this is one of his ways. He sent his Holy Spirit to ignite us by his power. We're born of the Spirit. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of his ministry, the Spirit came on him like a dove. And if he needed the energizing of the Holy Spirit, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. How much more, as with Jesus, does it have to be with the body of Christ? And I am not one of the people that believes that ceased after the last writing of the scriptures or the last of the book of Acts. I believe this is a present condition. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. And you'll receive this help. You'll receive this strength. You'll receive this. It's good, man. And the Holy Spirit will stand in the gap. He'll stand up ahead for you. He'll tell you things to come. He'll reveal things. Did you hear that? Look at verse 26 of chapter 14. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Then it says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I tell you, it'll push away fear and it'll bring peace to know that this abiding, remaining, present Spirit of God, this paraclete called alongside to help, who wants to bring comfort to our hurting. He wants to bring help where our needs are. He wants to bring guidance where we need to make decisions. And he wants to give it to us supernaturally, his Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. It'll line up with the Word of God, and it'll be rational. Some of the things God has us do are a little bit out there and radical, but it always bears witness, makes ultimate spiritual sense. God's called us to a spiritual life, and we have to rely upon and have some confidence in this wonderful Holy Spirit. So we could go into this thing and say, all right, Lord, if that's you, I'll step out in it. I'll walk with you. We don't want to be reckless or silly. We don't want to contrive and make things up. We want to know your voice. And the Bible says we do know your voice. We know your word is a lamp to our feet. So you're going to use that as a light to shine on our lives. Your Holy Spirit is going to bring clarity. An advocate. He's our advocate. He advocates the quality of our spiritual life. He wants us to win more than we even want to win. The Holy Spirit's rooting for you. He's cheering for you. He wants your marriage to be strong. He wants your finances to be stable. He wants you to go from abundant life to abundant life and from glory to glory. Did you know that? He does. The Lord's not pulling against you. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you. In fact, the Holy Spirit doesn't even convict you. The Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Really, what's happened is when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he activates our heart and our conscience becomes receptive to the Spirit of God and to the things of God. And then actually the Bible talks about if your heart condemns you and so forth, there's such a gift of the Holy Spirit coming in and causing the new birth and then making us sensitive to the voice of the Spirit and aware when we get in the flesh. How many of you have ever gotten in a thing where you said something you shouldn't have said and it's like all of a sudden your system kind of went, thank God for that. That's called a conscience. The Bible talks about people searing their conscience with a hot iron. I want to keep my conscience. I want to have a good conscience in the sight of God. I want to keep my heart tender. I don't want my heart to get hardened. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Your heart is your spirit. And that's the part of you that the Holy Spirit wants to really speak to. His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. And you can start to sense things. It's wonderful. You say, oh, it's because you're a Pastor Jeff. No, it's because I'm born again, child of God, and it's available to everybody in this room. So, well, I know people have heard voices and it was wacky. That's not what I'm talking about. This is totally different. We're not following a bunch of voices. The voice of a stranger we will not follow. But we know the Master's voice. And we understand those promptings. And we know when we step over the lines and we get in the flesh and we yield to those impulses. We also know the fruit of the recreated human spirit. And as we cultivate this awareness that the Holy Spirit is there helping us, he's fostering this, he's advocating this. He's a strengthener. Paul the Apostle said, I pray you would be strengthened with might and power by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, you know, I'm in my 50s and I learned that I better strengthen my muscles and my bone mass and stuff like that as I move into my 60s and 70s. I want to get whatever I have left in shape and that type of thing. So I learned that some little throwing some weights around will give muscle tone. They give muscle tone. I've learned that. You can tell by looking. You don't need me to tell you. But and then also I've learned that if I study and I read, it'll strengthen my brain. It'll strengthen my thinking. There are even things they tell you to do where you can keep your brain activated. And we know that's true. Well, let me just say to you that that spiritual part of you has the same potential to grow or to atrophy, to be neglected and ignored or to be tended to. And if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life everlasting. If we sow to the flesh, we reap decay, corruption. We'll have a bad hair day. The mindset on the flesh is death, and how we all know that. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And just the mindset we're getting by reading about this helper, that Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go because I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh. And the whole body of Christ, every born-again child of God has the Holy Spirit. I want to, in the upcoming weeks, talk more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that subsequent gift that God wants to download into the body of Christ and in every believer to activate them into even a more robust, more equipped place. God wants to equip us for service in this life. The reason I'm preaching this is to get you aware of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and His presence, and for you to be motivated to enjoy Him as a person and to understand He's not just a wisp or a cloud. I don't like calling Him the Holy Ghost. I like King James, but the idea of ghost, we lose something in this hour. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit, and He's amazing. He wants to be a friend to the believer. He wants to come alongside and help. He wants to be the God of all comfort. He wants to be the guide that leads you. So you're not led by just the limitation of your knowledge or what other people say or the impulses of the day. But He can navigate you past some of these Job experiences that try to fall on some of us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. What I say to you is the Holy Spirit really does want you to get in victory. He does want to create breakthrough. And you need to understand, our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son Jesus, but also we're to fellowship with the Spirit. There's a fellowship with the Spirit that's so wonderful, where you can get out there and learn what is pleasing to the Lord and learn what grieves the Spirit and also learn what facilitates sensitivity to and yieldedness to the Spirit. This ought to inspire some of you just to spend a little bit extra time praying before you make those business decisions. A little bit extra time just cracking open your Bible. A little bit of time just turning off the radio, and when you pull up into the parking lot at work and you're a couple minutes early, just dial back and just tap into and just thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for living big in me today. Your Bible says I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's hard for me to grasp, but I know that you live in there, and the Bible says that your Spirit bears witness with my spirit. How many of you have given your hearts to the Lord, you Christians? Let me see your hands. You're candidates for what I'm talking about. And the Holy Spirit wants to take you up into a new dimension. How many of you would like to grow up in God and have a really amazing experience with the Lord? God does all the more. His advocacy for you, the Holy Spirit wants to champion vibrant Christian life in this place. He wants our church body as a congregation, thousands strong, to get stronger and have our minds and hearts in one accord, understand the head of the church. A spiritual man appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. God will give us a spiritual heads up. God was prompting me in 1980, December, when I came back from the mission field. I thought all day about John Lennon, and I found out the guy got shot. Oh, if only I had interceded. If only I had followed some of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So this is important that we listen to this. This is important that we yield to this. In fact, your life is very, very extraordinarily important. And here's how I know this. I'm the product of a person who responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to witness to me at a strategic moment in my life, which he had no natural reinforcement for. He didn't know who I was. But God moved on an ordinary believer and did an extraordinary miracle through that believer. Forever, I'm going to be grateful. So I recognize the miracle potential present in everybody in this room. I even recognize the miracle potential in my life on a daily basis. And I also see how the enemy tries to suppress it, get us distracted with lesser things, get us ignoring the Holy Spirit. And therefore, just he'll try to knock on the door and we wouldn't recognize him, you know, if he was ringing the doorbell and jumping up and down on our porch. But God's called us to become sensitive, to turn our eyes upon him and look and listen and become more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? What I want to do is pray that you just get a massive surge of grace. John Osteen is somebody I talk often about, and I have the good pleasure and advantage of having him as a mentor in my young ministry. We watched his wife Dodie fight through the cancer back in the 80s. We watched John Osteen fight through discouragement, and we watched him obtain promises and set the showcase for what is now the largest church in North America. So his competency is high, credibility is high. He made this statement. He said, "The greatest miracles in my ministry came from following the most subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit." He said, "The greatest miracles in my ministry came from following the most subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit." And here's what he said. He said, it was like faint perfume on the wind, where you just walk along all of a sudden, and it's there and then it's not there. Just an impression. And, you know, we talk about, I sensed this in my spirit, or I had a check, or a witness. There are terminologies we've attached to this. But in a sense, what it's acknowledging is that his spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. That he's activated our human spirit, and that we now have a conscience. That our conscience, as born-again believers, is reliable because it's been made alive by God. And then we know when we're entering over into the flesh, I want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So I'm a human being just like everybody else. So was John Osteen. But what John Osteen was saying was, man, this Holy Spirit helped me. And he'll help you with your kids. He'll help you with your parenting. He'll help you with all kinds of stuff. Every detail and issue of life, the Holy Spirit will help us on. When we read about this with his ministry, it's like, oh, well, I can see why the Holy Spirit would help people with their ministry. But God wants to help each one of us in every area of our lives, because God is holistic and he cares about our whole life. He loves you with your work. That's why I was so excited about the guy who's been through Job weirdness. And he's, because Pastor Jeff, this happened. It's like, yes, I love that breakthrough. But I also love the stand he took in the midst of all the Job stuff, just like, I'm just going to believe God and hold to his promises. I'm not going to let it run me away. I'm not going to let it shut me down. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to trust God. All right, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and stand by. I'm standing by. I'm at your beck and call. I'm available to you, that he may remain with you forever. The Holy Spirit is all of these things. He's all of these. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father, it is to our advantage that Jesus died and then rose again. Then he dispatched this wonderful Holy Spirit and ushered in the church age. I'd rather be alive now than in the upper room. I'd rather be alive now than during Jesus' earthly ministry. I'd rather be alive now than any other time in the history of the world. I don't want to look back. These are the good old days. Just reach out and receive a strengthening. Reach out and receive comfort, counsel, help. The intercessor, the standby, the advocate, the strengthener. Lord Jesus, I thank you for pouring out a meaningful move of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for pouring out grace and anointing. I thank you for pouring out favor. I thank you, God, people are getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in God. I thank you, Lord, for pouring out vital, amazing, powerful, supernatural presence. God, I thank you. Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you, God, you're the helper, the standby, the advocate, the empowerer, the teacher, the guide, the giver of gifts, the comforter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes real tight. Father, I pray you get everybody ready for everything up ahead in every area of every life. I know that your Holy Spirit is unlimited and is abounding toward us. So I thank you that you're giving us a breakthrough in all fronts. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came to give abundant life. We right now close off the doors to the devil. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. And we resist the devil and we draw near to God. We want to sensitize ourselves to your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you've anointed us, that we are sensitive to you. Our spirits are getting stronger and stronger. As we meditate on your word, it feeds our spirit. As we act on your word, it strengthens us. As we obey the promptings of your spirit, we see super great and amazing results. We don't want to suppress you. We don't want to ignore you. and we don't want to close off to you. In Jesus' name.